to the Gospel of Matthew. This morning we'll be looking at chapter 12, verses 46 through 50. The closing verses of Matthew chapter 12. So hear now the Gospel of Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 50. While he was still speaking to the people, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside, asking to speak with him. But he replied to the man who told him, "Who is my mother, and who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Once again, bow in prayer and seek the Lord's blessing. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for these verses that you have given to us this morning. And as we look at them, Father, we pray that you would guide and direct our hearts and minds to you by your Spirit. May he work mightily within us, inscribing his truth upon our hearts. And may you, Lord, work within me as well. May I think and speak your truth clearly this morning. It is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. Well, we're far removed, or not too far removed, I guess, from the holiday season. And one of the reasons why the holiday season is such a joyful time is predominantly because we get to spend time with our loved ones. It may be loved ones that we haven't been able to see for quite some time. Maybe loved ones that are biologically related to us, or maybe loved ones that are related to us by law. But there's a joy there. And it's a fun time, a time we look forward to. There's nothing quite like being in the presence of a family, especially, specifically, a family that loves one another and cares for one another. And there are close bonds that they have together. Well, this morning, this passage that we're looking at, Jesus is telling his disciples that they are, in fact, a part of the family of God. That is the relationship that they have with God and with him. Their family. That is the purpose of our text this morning. So as we look at this, the theme we are going to look at is for us, for you and me, to take courage, disciples of Jesus. For you are in the family of God. To take courage, disciples of Jesus, for you are in the family of God. And we'll be looking at this text in two points. First of all, we'll be looking at the earthly family of Jesus comes to speak with him in verses 46 to 48. The earthly family of Jesus comes to speak with him. Secondly, Jesus speaks of his true family. Jesus speaks of his true family in verses 48 to 50. So our first point, the earthly family of Jesus comes to speak with him in verses 46 to 48. There we read, while he was still speaking to the people, behold, his mother and his brother stood outside asking to speak to him. But he replied to the man who told him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Now, I'm reading here from the English Standard Version. And that is what we have in our pews. And if you're looking at that version, you're probably not noticing anything different. But if you were to use another version, the King James Version, the New King James Version, the New American Standard Version, you would notice another verse in there. And if you look back at the ESV, you'll see that there's verse 46. Verse 46 ends, and then the next number is verse 48. What happened to verse 47? Where is it? Well, the ESV and those who made the translation took the stance that verse 47 may not have actually originally been there. And that's because it's one of those texts, as the Bible has been passed down, we're not quite sure if it was there in the originals or not. But all this verse says, before we begin to worry, you know, are our Bibles trustworthy? All that this verse says is this. Verse 47 would read, "And someone said to him, 'Behold, your mother and your brothers are outside, desiring to speak with you.'" So it's saying the exact same thing as verse 46. It just kind of explains that who the man is in verse 48 when it says, "But he replied to the man who told him." That's all that verse 47 is telling us. Now, why talk about this? Why is it important? Well, I want you to be reassured that if you come across different English translations of the Bible and you would see something that seems to be quite glaring, seems to be a quite glaring mistake, that someone that you talk to, if they know about this, might point it out. Hey, you know, some translations don't have verse 47. What about that? That's not consistent. Well, you can rest assured that there is no doctrine that we hold dear, no saving faith doctrine that is essential to the Christian faith that hangs in the balance upon this verse. And there is absolutely no truth of Scripture missing if this verse is not there. It says the exact same thing as verse 46 and 48 combined. It's just not there in some manuscripts. So don't be worried, brothers and sisters, if you come across things like this. The Scriptures that we have been tried and tested and examined more thoroughly than any book in history. And we are more certain of God's Word than we are of Shakespeare's works. It is a great testament to the Holy Spirit's work, despite our fallibility and sinfulness, that He's preserved His Word throughout history and given us true, reliable Bibles that we can read and depend upon. Now, moving on to this text in these first opening verses. One of the things that we notice, first of all, that as Jesus, as His mother and His brothers stood outside, we noticed that Jesus was not an only child. He had siblings. He had brothers and sisters. You call them stepbrothers and sisters. They had different fathers, but they had the same mother. So He had brothers and sisters. He had a family. And we don't know why they want to see Him so urgently. You know, all we can do is speculate. Some wonder, well, were they ashamed of Him and what He was doing, the reputation that He was gaining? But we don't know that for sure. All we know is that they desired to speak with Him. I think that maybe they began to hear some of the rumblings about Him, and out of a genuine concern for Him and His life, they're going to see Him, going to talk with Him. So possibly out of a growing hostility is what drove them to go and desire so strongly to speak with Jesus. Another thing about this text that others might use against the Word of God and against Christianity is to try to point out that Jesus here seems to be inconsistent with His own teaching. He teaches us to love and respect, to honor our fathers and mothers. But here it appears that He's completely rejecting His mother. His mother is wanting to speak with Him. His mother is desiring to see her son. And His response is to say, "Who are my mother and my brothers? My mother and brothers are my disciples." Some would say, well, Jesus here is being inconsistent. He's contradicting Himself. And He's turning His back upon His earthly mother. Well, this isn't the case at all. Jesus clearly shows, especially in the Gospel of John, as He is hanging upon the cross, a deep love and concern for His mother. As He makes preparations and provisions for His mother to be taken care of after He is gone. But this text is not about the relationship that Jesus had with His earthly family. This text is about the relationship that He has with His spiritual family, His true family. That is what this text is about. And Jesus is using the situation as a good teacher, the situation of his mothers and brothers coming and desiring to speak with him, as the opportunity to give us a very comforting truth and instruction and teaching of the relationship that we have with our God, with our Savior. That is what Jesus is doing. So any assumption of what Jesus is doing to or teaching about his earthly family, in my mind, should be ignored and not given any weight. Because that's not Jesus' purpose here. He's showing us, brothers and sisters, one of the chief benefits that we have in being the disciples of Jesus Christ. And that benefit being that we are in the household of God. No longer in the household of the wicked one. No longer in his kingdom. No longer is he our Father. But God is our Father. And as his disciples, as the disciples of Jesus Christ, we are in the household of God. That brings us then to our second point. Jesus speaks of his true family in verses 48 through 50. Jesus answers, he replies to the man who told him by asking him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." So there are three points to discipleship that I want to cover in this point. First of all, we learn that disciples do the will of the Father. Disciples do the will of the Father. Now this phrase in Matthew predominantly means and refers to obedience. Following the commands of God. Doing the will of the Father, following what he has decreed. But I want you to remember, as we consider doing the will of God, and being a disciple means that we are doing his will, I want you to remember and to consider Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. Here then, Jesus says that unless our righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, that we cannot or will not enter the kingdom of heaven. That is a huge statement for him to make. Because the Pharisees were held up outwardly as the pivotal examples of the way you were to live, the way you were to follow God's law, following step for step exactly what they taught God had commanded. But Jesus shockingly says, unless you have a righteousness that exceeds that, you'll never even enter the kingdom of heaven. So how then are we to be disciples? Well, in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, in verses 25 through 29, we read, this is after in the Gospel of John, Jesus has walked on the water. And we read, beginning in verse 25, "When they," the crowds, "found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, 'Rabbi, when did you come here?' Jesus answered them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has set his seal.' Then they said to him, 'What must we do to be doing the works of God?' And Jesus answered them, 'This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent.'" So when we ask the question, how can we enter the kingdom of heaven? How can we do the will of God if it's obedience? And the Pharisees, from all outward appearances, are obeying perfectly the will of God and doing it, and yet they're not in the kingdom of heaven. And God, and Christ says we need a righteousness that exceeds theirs. How then do we enter? Well, Jesus gives the answer in John 6:29. there to do, or the work of God, is to believe in Him whom He has sent. That is doing the will of God. That is what we are called to do. We cannot earn our salvation by following the commands of God and living them out perfectly in our life. The only way we can have the righteousness that exceeds the scribes and the Pharisees is to have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the only way we can have that righteousness that we need for salvation is to believe in Jesus Christ, the one whom God has sent. Only then, after having been saved by Christ, saved by faith in Him through God's grace, only then can we rightly obey the Father. Only then can we rightly follow His commands. Because they're done out of a desire to do so. They're done out of thankfulness in the heart. You know, as parents, you know, it's a joy to see our children obey. You know, if we see them obey one of you, we take great joy in that. We're proud of them for it. But when they do something in obedience that wasn't asked of them, but, you know, they've gone through it enough and they know it's expected, and they do it out of a love for us, that is just far greater. There is a joy there in joyful obedience out of thankfulness. And that is the type of obedience we're to have to God. You see, doing His will not earn our approval before Him. Believing in Jesus Christ is what makes us approved. And that then, brothers and sisters, gives us the freedom to do His will rightly in thankful obedience. The second point about discipleship. So first, disciples do the will of the Father. They believe in the one whom He has sent. Discipleship is inclusive. I want you to notice the pattern here. Discipleship is inclusive. Back in our text in Matthew chapter 12, as we read through these verses, you know, verse 46 is your mother and his mothers and his brothers are outside. Verse 47, if it was there, we would read someone telling him, your mother and your brothers are outside. Jesus then asks, who are my mothers and my brothers? He then points to his disciples and said, these are my mothers and my brothers. But then strangely, he breaks the pattern. And in the final phrase, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. You see what? The fact that it is sister is absent throughout this text. It's just mother and brothers, mother and brothers, mother and brothers. But then Jesus, in speaking about His disciples and those who believe in Him, show the inclusiveness of the gospel in saying brothers, sisters, and mothers. Now, it would be strange in His day and age to call women His disciples. That would have been the standard of His day and age, and teachers taking on women as His disciples. But He points to this mixed crowd. It's not just the 12 He's referencing. It's those who are following Him. The 12, and then men and women. He's pointing to, behold, my brothers, my sisters, and my mother. You see, it doesn't matter our race, our gender, or cultural background. None of those things matter. We are all called to fall down before Jesus Christ. We are all called His children. We are all called to be His disciples, to follow Him with all of our heart, to love Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We are all called to be His disciples. The third thing, disciples are family. Disciples are family. So first of all, as we consider the fact that disciples are family, Consider also who these disciples were. Let's just take the small, the grouping out of this larger group of disciples in the 12. These were weak men of little faith that Jesus said from time and time again, "Oh, you have little faith." They didn't understand completely. I mean, we kind of look back at the accounts and having the full revelation and things explained to us time and time again, we look back at these disciples and just think, why didn't they get it? I mean, it seems like such a simple teaching. Yet Jesus calls them my brothers, my sisters, and my mother. The fact that their faith was weak didn't matter. They were a part of the household of God, regardless. And the fact that disciples are family, it shows its light and shows its light in two ways. First of all, we have a heavenly Father and an elder brother like no other. We have a heavenly Father and an elder brother like no other. Jesus Christ is our older brother. One of the things that Silas has developed over the past 7 months, as he's become more aware of his surroundings and interacts more with us as a family, I've been amazed at how diligently he watches Neri and Silas, or Ezra. He watches both of them intently, but especially Ezra. There's something special about it. There are times where I can't break his gaze off of his brother. He is constantly watching both his brother and sister and learning how to behave, learning what to do. I can remember when I was a young child, my older sister right above me, she's 4 years older than me, and when she was in third grade, she had an accident on the playground of our school and broke her arm. And she was in a cast, up to here. And I can still remember, I followed her around so closely. And it wasn't just while her arm was broken, but I followed her around so closely, I annoyed her to death. But I was so close to her that all she did is she just turned around to change direction, and she nailed me in the face with her cast. Older siblings, these stories, they show us the gaze we're to have on our older brother, Jesus Christ. He is our head. He's our older brother in the family of God. We're to keep our gaze upon him, to watch him as we read the scriptures. Look at how he acts. Look at how he teaches. Look at how he cares for people. The wisdom that he taught, not only in the Gospels, but throughout his word, as he interacts with the people of God. We're to learn. He is our older brother. But secondly, the fact that disciples are family is a phrase that I repeatedly use in sermons for all of us. As I call you brothers and sisters. For that is truly what we are. All the ties that we have in blood with our families are actually nothing compared to the bond that we have in Jesus Christ. We are closer to one another in Christ than we ever will be with the blood coursing through our veins that we share. Or in the case of adoption, with the document that says you are a part of this family. That is the union that we have, brothers and sisters, as the family of God. It's not only a unity with our Father in heaven and his Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's a unity together. And one question we have to ask ourselves is, how do we express that unity? How are we doing in expressing it? How are we doing in expressing that love and that bond that we have? Because that is the truth of who we are. We are the family of God. And so, brothers and sisters, the chief benefit of being a disciple of Jesus is to be in the family of God. We are disciples if we do the will of the Father, believing in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. This discipleship is a calling upon all of us, regardless of race, gender, or cultural status. And it's a great comfort to us in knowing that we are the family of God. Jesus is our brother. God the Father is our Father. So in closing, brothers and sisters, in encouragement to take courage, for we are in the family of God, listen to these two verses. First of all, in Matthew 25, verse 40, "And the king will answer them," that is Jesus Christ upon his throne will answer them. And this is when he says that there are those that, you know, gave, you know, provided for people, and he says, "Welcome in, for you clothed me when I was naked, and you visited me when I was sick." And they ask, "Well, when did we do this?" And Jesus responds to this group by saying, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." But then also in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11, "For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are of one Father. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers." What a glorious truth, my brothers and sisters, that the last great day, Jesus will proudly proclaim you his brother or his sister before the throne of God. And he'll do it without any shame or disgrace upon his face. And so, brothers and sisters, take courage, you who are disciples of Jesus, for you are in the household of God. Amen. Our gracious Father, we do thank you that we can call you Father. We thank you, Lord, that we are in your household, that we are in your family, that we have been adopted, bought, and paid for through the shed blood of our older brother, Jesus Christ. And Father, if any are discouraged here, may we remember this wonderful truth that we are in your family. And there is no one or no thing that can remove us from the bonds that we have in Jesus Christ. In his glorious name we pray. Amen.